What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Arnies. We are two internationally famous club bouncers. I'm Matt Johnson, and I believe that all bouncers from this day forth should be experts in every form of martial art.
And I'm Keith Baker, and I really need to practice my oiled-up Tai Chi.
Your oiled-up Tai Chi on a farm where the proprietor just kind of watches you in awe?
Oh, yeah. For sure. And also the villain across the lake as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess you're doing it in front of everyone, I guess.
Just two old men.
Yeah. Well, if that didn't give it away, on today's show, we're back to do something a little bit different. A little original versus remake showdown, if you will. And what better way to start a format like this than by enjoying a revisit to the 1989 cult classic with Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse and with a first-time experience of the anticipated 2024 remake with Jake Gyllenhaal's Roadhouse. We're going to do a little bit of a standard review, I guess, but we're mostly going to try and talk about remakes in general, what works and doesn't about this one in particular, why we love the original, or don't, I guess, and all that fun stuff. I think this is going to be the ideal way to kind of frame the conversation of the remake, because Keith and I may or may not have gotten a little drunk and then watched the new one together.
There is no better way to watch that.
No, really not. It allows you to, during the final fight scene, literally stand out of the chair and start clapping. I was excited. But all right, let's just go ahead and get into it. Yeah, I guess let's start simple. Best way to do this, I think, Keith, is what are your kind of quick feelings on the original and what you think of the remake?
Yeah, I rewatched the original to prepare for this episode. I'd only seen it, I think, once all the way through before, and I've never watched the original up until, I want to say, last year. I kind of went on an 80s, like, I guess, action tear. So I was watching like Point Break with Patrick Swayze and Keanu. Yep. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I've never seen Roadhouse all the way through. Let me give Roadhouse a watch. And finally watched all the way through last year. And I was like, what a crazy movie this is. It's so wild and ridiculous. Like, you can't take it too seriously. There's just so much about it. I know we're going to dive into later some of the funny stuff about it. But I do think it is a good movie. And then I rewatched it to prepare for this episode. And I loved it even more on the second viewing. And then going into the remake, I was, you know, whenever I heard about the remake, that was coming out, I was like, oh God, Jake Gyllenhaal is going to be doing a revival of Roadhouse. Like, he's going to be the Patrick Swayze character. That's crazy. I didn't know what to think of it. I'm like, is he the right person for this role? Is there somebody else that could play this role? You know, how are they going to do it? Like, is it going to be based in Missouri again, or is it going to be somewhere else? Are they going to have the exact same characters, or is it going to be like a completely different adaptation? Yeah, but just quick thoughts on the remake. I really liked it. It was kind of the same feelings from the original. I mean, I can't take it too seriously. It has a lot of ridiculous moments in it. The acting is hit or miss with some people. But yeah, overall it was just a fun time. And I like that they had some stuff in the original placed in there, but at the same time, they kind of made it their own as well. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Yeah, pretty much across the board. Same here. We must have talked about it. Maybe that's why we did it, because last year I did something similar. I guess maybe less of a, like, action movie specific kind of, like, watch through. I don't remember why, but I did the same. I did a Patrick Swayze, like, kind of back-to-back where I watched Point Break for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think that inspired me to, like, you know, I haven't seen Roadhouse and I don't even remember how long. I was probably the same way as, like, I probably hadn't even seen it all the way through. I'd, in reality, probably only seen, like, random bits and pieces of it. But I watched that, loved it, watched Ghost also, and was like, holy shit, this movie rocks too. I was like, damn, Patrick Swayze had a pretty good tear on it around then. I was like, wow, no wonder he was so famous. But yeah, the original, I can understand why people maybe didn't like it at the time, but I also understand why it has achieved cult classic status. I think it's genuinely, like, pretty, like, despite being goofy and cheesy, it's genuinely good. Like, it's a well-made movie. I think most of the acting actually fits in that world. I like the setting. The story is, like, simple, but there is, like, some actual cool, like, layers going on, like, amidst that plot that makes it kind of more complex, kind of interesting with the villain side, and then like Wade Garrett, his friend.
Yeah, pretty good.
Like, character names of all time. But yeah, so I really loved it. And I do remember whenever they announced they were doing this, I kind of just rolled my eyes, not really because out of any specific love for the original, because I hadn't even rewatched it yet by the time I'm sure they announced this remake. But I think I kind of just rolled my eyes instinctively, because I think I've been doing that a lot when it comes to just remakes in general.
Yeah.
It's hard not to be like, even if it's something that's good, it's like, it does feel sometimes like a soulless cash grab. It's like, okay, we're remaking Roadhouse. Why? Like, yeah. What's the benefit there? Are you really going to top Swayze? Are you just going to tell the same story? Kind of the same questions you were asking. And I actually think Doug Liman and Jake Gyllenhaal and the team did a pretty smart thing where, yes, I think, it's fair to say, I think beat for beat, it's probably what, maybe like 80, 85% just the exact same beats and story of the original. A lot of the side characters fit into the same, like, roles. Like, there's definitely some one-to-one comparisons there. But I think they changed enough with, like, the setting, aspects of the story, the ending, some character dynamics, that it made for an interesting watch. And it was just so much fun that it kind of feels more of like an adaptation than kind of like a lot of the standard remakes we get. Yeah. It's just the smartest thing, the absolute smartest thing they did, which made the remake so enjoyable to me, is like, even though this movie's coming out in 2024 versus the first one in 89, this still feels like kind of the style of those 80s action movies, like late 80s, early 90s action movies. So they didn't skimp on that, despite it coming out like decades later. They were like, let's keep kind of the feel of those movies. Like, yeah, it's definitely going to be cheesy, lots of corny stuff going on in there. The action's going to like surprise you at times. You'll go from like a really goofy, like laughing scene to like somebody's getting like eaten by a crocodile or like gruesomely impaled or something. And you're like, oh my God. And that's just how like those movies operated back then. Like, there was like the cheesy romance with them, like the brutal violence and stuff. And this one really rides that line in a good way. And I think Jake Gyllenhaal, I think, kind of proved like it doesn't really matter if he's better than Swayze. I don't think anybody would have been better than Swayze in this role.
No.
But he definitely did it justice, I think. And he ended up being a really good pick. So, yeah, I think this is fun. For someone that's a bit cynical when it comes to remakes and those kinds of things these days, I think this movie, like, earned its stripes. And I'm kind of sad that, I guess, like, kind of last minute, because I know Doug Liman, the director, was boycotting the movie, because I guess he was under the impression that this was going, straight to theaters. Like, this was going to be an opportunity, like, for, like, you know, like, maybe, like, a big franchise start or something like that. And then, I don't know, I guess something happened late in the game where they decided to put it on streaming. I actually think this would have killed in theaters. But anyway,
now
that, regardless, even if it's streaming, I'm glad we got to watch it together. And, yeah, like, awesome remake. I had a thoroughly good time, and I still love the original all the same.
Yeah, same. But I think you nailed it, though. They didn't try to modernize it too much. It was,
that would have been, I think, awful if they did that.
Yeah, it would have definitely been awful if they tried to like throw too much fluff in there. And they kept the story simple, you know. They kept the characters simple. They kept the whole objective of it straightforward, which is like how most 80s movies, action movies were, you know. They just didn't have a whole lot of fluff in them. It's just like, this is the bad guy, I'm the good guy, I have to kill the bad guy. And that's like kind of how all those movies went.
But a smart call. There's definitely a world where they announce a Roadhouse remake and in other hands it comes out, and it's kind of just like, I could totally see it going one of two ways. One where now they make it into kind of like a more standard drama, which I feel like would be kind of awful. And then I could also totally see them bandwagoning and go, let's make it into a John Wick style action movie, which I think would be too far in the other direction.
Yeah.
So this one found the nice middle ground of like, hey, you know, it's a remake. You can ask us why we're making this, and I can understand why you would ask that question, but we're sticking true to the spirit of the original, and that was a smart call. I think more people need to do that, especially with how many remakes are happening these days. All right, well, I guess let's get into it. I guess normally this is where we would drop a spoiler warning, I guess in this case for the remake specifically, but if you've seen Roadhouse, then I don't think there's too much to spoil here, so, but I'll just say it anyway. If you were planning on watching Roadhouse and you haven't gotten around to it, from this point on, we will be talking everything spoiler related. We're also going to be talking about the original in full context. But I think before we get into the spoilery territory and kind of the main part of our conversation, I would just say this movie is definitely worth watching. And I think will you have more of an appreciation for it if you watch the original? I don't know. I could actually see this going both ways. I think you could watch the remake first and then go back and watch the original. I think you could watch the original and then kind of get excited for the modern version. But either way, I think both movies are absolutely worth watching. So if you haven't, and maybe you've been thinking about it, maybe you saw trailers for the new one or something, definitely watch both. I think they're really worth it.
Yep, I would agree with that.
All right, everybody, welcome to spoiler territory for 1989's Roadhouse and 2024's Roadhouse. So usually we do some cast and crew talk. I guess we can do a little bit of that here before getting into some receptions. I think there's some funny things there. The original was directed by Rowdy Harrington, who I went through his filmography and I didn't see too much. Looks like he kind of did a few bangers in the late 80s, early 90s, and then, I don't know, maybe just got out of the business or whatever. And then Doug Liman, of course, did the remake, probably most fair to say he's most well-known for The Bourne Identity.
All right, going into our cast, we have Patrick Swayze, Kelly Lynch, Sam Elliott, and Ben Gazzara. They lead the OG as Dalton, Doc, Wade Garrett, and Brad Wesley, respectively. And we got Jake Gyllenhaal, Daniela Melchior, Conor McGregor, and Billy Magnussen as the leads in the remake as Dalton, Ellie, Knox, and Ben Brandt. There's our cast and crew, Matthew. Any positives, any negatives? What do we have?
I mean, it's hard. I feel like Roadhouse has such a specific, like, reputation now. It's hard to, like, pick any one person out of it. I feel like every single person, whether they're a lead character or just one of the random side characters, is kind of perfect in that movie. Yeah. It's hard to picture anybody else doing it. Obviously, it's hard not to... Yeah, you can't count out Swayze in the lead. Like, a genuinely really good performance. Like, super charismatic, sure. But super badass.
Yeah.
He's great. We're going to talk about Wade Garrett, everybody. Don't worry. Sam Elliott in one of his rare kind of mustacheless roles, which I always forget about. And I got to say, I know he's iconic for the mustache, but he looks pretty good without it, too. So
yeah.
I guess he's just always surprising us. Then I guess kind of my same point, it's kind of transitioning over to the remake. It's kind of hard to pick one person out of this, too, because I also think most of the acting works in the lead roles. And then there's, like, so many fun side characters. I loved Arturo Castro as Mo, the henchman that just, like, keeps getting beat up. He gets his arm broken, but he kind of seems to, like, thinks Dalton's cool. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of hard to pick one. But what about you? Yeah, I mean, is there anybody that, like, stands out, like, in a major way in either one?
Yeah, it is hard to choose. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, Swayze's awesome. I would say Kelly Lynch as Doc in the original is so cool. And obviously, you already said it, Sam Elliott as Wade Garrett. It's just, what a cool addition to that original one. he has so many funny moments we'll get into later. But, I mean, a big shout out to Conor McGregor. I guess this is his acting debut. And
you
I
have
think,
to shout it out.
I think he nailed it. He was so funny in it. He played such a good villain.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I probably should have looked. I think a lot of people are going to say that not only is he like not good in this, I think a lot of people are going to say that he's terrible in it.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think the magic of Conor McGregor's performance is, I think they're right. But
yes.
I think he was kind of great in it too. And we were kind of talking after. It kind of goes back to talking about like the spirit of that late 80s in the original. Since this movie kind of sticks to that style and spirit as well, I think someone as wild and crazy as Conor McGregor in this movie, it works. And I liked their pairing. I thought it was wild, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Like, you know, at the end of the year, whenever we do our Arncademy Awards, I guess spoiler alert, I think when it comes to our best movie of the year category, I think you'll likely probably see something like Dune Part 2 on there. Are you going to see Roadhouse? No. But that's okay. It doesn't have to be in there. Not every movie has to achieve like that status, to your point. This one was just a hell of a lot of fun, and Conor McGregor probably will get a supporting actor award in our award show, at least.
Oh, for sure. It's like he wins the Oscar next year. Conor McGregor, best supporting actor.
All right. Well, with that, I think let's go ahead and do it. Let's do this official original versus remake showdown. I do think by the end of this, Keith, we should take a firm stance on which one is better, despite loving both.
Yeah.
But let's get started here. Let's do some general opening thoughts. Keith, I don't know. Where do you want to start? Should we kind of keep it simple? Should we talk about are two Daltons. Should we talk about the story? Where do you want to start today?
Yeah, let's start with the story, since it was a discussion that you and I had a couple times before we started recording, especially when we were watching, or maybe before we started watching the new one. Let's touch on the story to the fact that what it's all about. It's about these famous bouncer or bouncers that are known around the country. So I'm touching more on the original here, but we'll go into the remake as well. But so the original is with Swayze and Sam Elliott play these famous bouncers. Like, they're known for cleaning up bars. They get paid high dollar to do this. They travel the country going from bar to bar. Swayze's like the veteran, and then Wade Garrett, Sam Elliott, is like the veteran of veterans. Like, he's like the mentor of Swayze, but Swayze's also been doing it for a long time too, and they're both known, and like their faces are known to people. And so that was like the thing that I laughed about the most when watching the original for the first time. I was like, oh my god, how do these these guys are known around the world?
It's so stupid. I love it. Yeah. And like, you and I were just laughing because it's like every scene where like Dalton, like, I don't know, like walks by somebody new, or like whenever Wade Garrett first walks on screen. Again, these are bouncers. Like, that's what they do. I'm not degrading a position. I guess, actually, no, to be fair to them, they call them their coolers.
Coolers.
Which does sound way cooler. Which I guess in this world means you also get involved with like the business side of the bar. I don't know. Point being, whenever they walk by somebody new, that's their job, but they're treated like they're A-list celebrities. Like Tom Cruise just walked by. Like, dude, you don't know who that is? That's Wade fucking Garrett. And then the guy that's being told that information, his face just lights up. He's like, what? Oh, my God.
Yeah, when the guitarist, like, Cody,
they're beloved
goes,
in this world.
Yeah. Whenever Wade Garrett shows up at the bar and helps Swayze beat up those guys in the back, and then Cody, the guitarist, goes, gentlemen, Wade Garrett. And they're all like, holy shit.
They basically should all just be clapping at that point. Yeah. So funny. And but then, yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and Tilghman, the bar owner, comes up. He's like, I know you.
Yep. I guess maybe it would have been funny to see like real people interact with them, because there's no way anybody outside of the bar scene would know or care about these guys, right? Or maybe not. I don't know.
I guess not. I guess there's a lot of characters who don't know who they are. Like the big guy who's like, oh, they told me about who you are, and I haven't seen shit yet. He's like, you're gonna. They told me you got big balls. I haven't seen it yet. And then the next day, he's like, damn.
Yeah. Is that the part where Sam Elliott's like big opening line is like, well, I ain't showing you my dick. And you're like, what? You're kind of like, I don't know if that makes sense. But yeah, it's kind of like a good transition talking about these weird, like, I don't know, like generations long, seeming like famous families of Dalton and Garrett, the famous coolers. And like you said it right. It's like Dalton's a veteran. And then I guess Wade Garrett is veteran plus. But that leads us nicely into the remake, talking about one of the biggest changes, kind of already alluded to it. But it's like no longer somebody, a bouncer, a cooler, not involved in the bar scene at all. The choice to make Dalton, in this version, Aylward Dalton, a UFC fighter, and I guess kind of still like veteran status. So if original Dalton's like a veteran cooler, then this one's a veteran UFC fighter.
Yeah.
That, of course, runs into some trouble that's kind of oddly, I think, at times, and alluded to in these dream sequences. And you're like, wait, so he did just murder his friend? That's interesting. But anyway, yeah. So what do you think of like kind of the change of, because it has implications on the rest of the movie, and that kind of affects like what side character you can kind of bring in, because you no longer have the bouncer cooler aspect, and now he's this fighter. So what do you think of that change and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I think it was a good change. But they kind of kept it in the same format, I guess, because the original, you know, Swayze had his like PTSD from murdering some guy in Memphis that they talked about. He's like, don't bring up Memphis.
Oh, yeah. And that's
like,
right.
And remember Wade Garrett's like trying to like talk him out of his like dark path. He's like, you got to forget about that. That's in the past. Like, you didn't mean to do that. And so like that was a good similarity that both movies had with the remake, with Jake Gyllenhaal as a UFC fighter accidentally murdering his friend that he fights in the cage. So, I think that was good that they changed it up. And yeah, that you kind of got rid of the, even though it was so fun in the first one, like we just talked about, with the ridiculousness of having these famous bouncers, I thought it was a good change up to actually like have him be somewhat of a celebrity from being a known public figure fighter.
That's true. We do got to address the elephant in the room, though. I still think there's a way they could have done it, but I want to kind of get on the pod, because I know we talked about it a little bit before this, but I think the biggest ramification, you could say, for removing the kind of bouncer cooler dynamic is no Wade Garrett equivalent. You know, we were talking in the beginning about there's a lot of characters like in this remake that are one-to-one with Doc and Ellie, with Tilghman and Frankie, like the exact same characters, even with the villains. I mean, that's the same storyline. But no mentor role. And we were kind of speculating. It's like, is this because, you know, you hire someone like Jake Gyllenhaal, who's an A-lister? Do you really need, like, a mentor figure? Like, who do you cast for that? Is it also weird to, like, now that you're not a bouncer, it's like, you're a UFC fighter, so now the dynamic is, I'm also a UFC fighter that maybe is a little bit older. Like, I don't know. So, like, what'd you think of this? Like, the only change that gave me pause is I was like, I did miss that kind of mentor-mentee dynamic.
I know we talked about earlier, like, how, you know, how we liked things staying super simple and all that.
Yeah.
But there was, I think that was kind of a missing piece in this remake, was we didn't get a whole lot of, like, it's almost like you didn't get a whole lot of interaction from Jake Gyllenhaal with a lot of people. It's like, it was almost, like, it was mostly just
a small pool of people.
Yeah, just a small pool of people. It would have been cool to have, like, a nice, like, diner scene. Like, we get in, like, the old one with, you know, Wade Garrett, you know, trying to give him some tips on how to move forward with things. It would have been cool, yeah. I don't know how you would have done it since he wasn't a famous bouncer. You would have had to, like, maybe have another, maybe his, like, trainer or something like that from, like,
that's
an old
trainer.
That's kind
of what I was thinking, yeah.
Could have been that role. Yeah. I don't know who would have played it. We talked about,
Casted John Hamm. If they make another one, we got to get John Hamm in there as the Wade Garrett equivalent.
I could
or maybe
see
just
that.
Sam Elliott. I know he's like 90 now, but he could still do it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he would be badass. Or just an older Wade Garrett.
Yeah, that somehow survived his knife attack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He died. I forgot about that.
Oh, shit. I forgot.
He died.
That's a good point, though, Keith, because, like, I think his death and, like, you know, Sam Elliott is a lot of comedic relief in that movie, but he is, I think, a source of good conflict for Dalton, because he's, like, trying to still maintain that mentor-mentee relationship. They're also genuine friends, so he's not trying to, like, damage their relationship, but he's also, like, actively telling him, like, look, I see what you're doing, I know what you're trying to do, I just got here, but you are clearly already, like, way too in deep in this job. Like,
yeah.
I understand, like, our dynamic, like, what you're trying to do is a cooler, but looking at, like, how these, like, villains are antagonizing you, looking at you with this relationship with Doc, like, you're in too deep. Like, so it's kind of like a good push and pull. He's trying to be a friend, but also trying to make him understand. And I think in a lot of ways, whenever you look back at the end of the movie, he was probably right in what he was saying. Obviously, it has a happy ending. It turns out okay. But I think Wade Garrett was kind of right in a lot of ways. And in this remake, there really isn't any of that. They kind of use these PTSD, like, dream sequences as, like, the thing that's, like, kind of like the push and pull, maybe making him want to leave, maybe making him not get too attached. But the only, like, I think kind of lame thing about the remake, because they didn't even, like, follow through with it, is the Wade Garrett equivalent is this daughter-father team that run this local kind of bookstore. That kind of becomes something that he gets attached to, and then the villains, like, burn it down. And I was like, oh, shit, if they killed them, then I can understand, like, okay, so this is the Wade Garrett equivalent. But then they didn't. But so I guess that was why they put it in there. So it made me wonder, like, do we really sacrifice, like, that, I think, a more interesting relationship with this kind of bookstore scene that we revisit, like, maybe 3 or 4 times super quickly? So now, I'm not saying either was bad, but it did stick out to me that the change from bouncer to UFC maybe impacted some of those, like, kind of character dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah, and you mentioning the bookstore, I guess that was, like, the equivalent to Red from the original. Red's, like, convenience store that he had Wesley ended up burning down. So, yeah, you have, I mean, we can kind of jump into more of, like, the villain side of things if you want to.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, I mean, you have, in the original, you have Wesley, who is, like, seems to run the town of Jasper, Missouri. Like, I guess he has, like, a stake in, like, almost every business there somehow. And all the and he is almost like a mob guy, in a way. And then you have...
That's what it seems like.
Yeah. And so you have, like, Red, you have the car dealership guy in the original. Mm-hmm. You have all those people who have their businesses that are being destroyed by him, I guess, for whatever reason. I was laughing my ass off rewatching the remake. I was like, why is this guy trying to destroy all these businesses? The businesses he gets a cut from, I guess he was trying to... They didn't want to give him their cut anymore. I guess that's why it was. But, and then you have Brant, who's like
this weird.
Yeah, it was so dumb. But then you have Brant, who's the I guess the Wesley equivalent. And I thought it was kind of cool that they did make him a younger character. They didn't, you know, he mentions his dad, who's like the money guy, but
it seems like almost like his dad is actually the Wesley equivalent.
Yeah,
and he's just like this is kind of like. Yeah, to your point, in terms of making sense, the Brant storyline makes way more sense. It's not about taking cuts. He is just trying to buy up or wipe out the businesses in this area so he can just kind of have a monopoly and build this resort he wants. Makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
But I think you're right. There was some good moments in there having him be a younger guy, having him be a son of kind of like a Wesley type guy was interesting. And then, yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, other villain talk, there's some other one-to-one comparisons we could do. Because I guess the first one was kind of known for that, too. I mean, there are a lot of villains in that movie. Like, yeah, I guess you have Wesley as kind of, like, the main guy. But then there's lots of tears. You have the guy that gets his throat ripped out, iconically, who is probably the next big bad. And then you just have tons and tons of henchmen. And this movie kind of has that, too. But if we're going to compare villains, then... we got to bring up the Conor McGregor of it all.
Oh, shit.
So where do you even start with this one? Because I always really enjoyed, I can't remember his name, I should have looked it up, but the guy that, I'll just call him the throat rip guy, who was like that. He was like, if Wesley was kind of like the businessy type villain, like he's not the villain that you're going to fight hand to hand.
No.
Like, you're going to win. But the throat rip guy was, he was like the one that was going to actually give Dalton a tricky time in the action scenes.
Yeah.
And they definitely replicated that dynamic in the remake, as well as having Conor McGregor be the guy that's going to give Dalton pause. Because every action scene up until that point, Jake Gyllenhaal has had quite literally no issues with anything.
And I did like how they kind of just... I do like how they did kind of make fun of the remake with some like small little things thrown in there. Like, the next morning, after, like, his first night there, everybody's like, hey, Dalton. Hey, good morning, Dalton. And he's like, do y'all have a town meeting or something? Like, how does everybody know my name? Whereas in the original, everybody's like, dude, that's freaking Dalton. He's like, yeah, that's me. I'm Dalton. And he, like, he knows that he's, like, a hot shot. Yeah. And then you got the throat punch guy, I guess, would be the McGregor equivalent in the original, where he's, like, super... I guess, acrobatic and well-versed in martial arts. You know, him and Swayze fighting was really cool, like, by the lake and all that. And, like you mentioned, you get the classic throat rip scene, which is crazy. Yeah, and then going into Conor McGregor, you get this crazy intro. Remember the intro? He's, like, in Europe. He, like, jumps out of the window
naked
and starts walking through a town and, like, just talking shit to everybody. Like,
yeah.
And starts like,
yeah, then he gets a call from Brant's papa in prison. He's like, I need your help. My dumb son's fucking things up. He's like, I'll be right with ya. He just like, he like acquires a jacket from a tourist, it looks like, and then he just burns down this entire shop.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God.
This guy's crazy.
Oh, every scene with him, like the start of every scene was iconic and hilarious. Like, there's one where he's just like driving like a million miles per hour in like a student driver car while sipping like 12. He's like drinking coconuts, and you just see like there's like 12 empty ones in the passenger seat. And he just keeps like drinking it, I guess.
Yeah.
So good.
And he shows up like at the Brand estate, which is like a really shitty house with a half empty pool. He's like, what's going on here? And then everybody starts talking to him. He's like, shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth. Yeah, he's like asking questions whenever they answer. He's like, shut your mouth.
I heard I need to take care of a little guy named Dalton.
Yeah, again, I already know without looking that there's going to be so many people that say he's awful in this. This is a performance that I predict people are going to like revisit this movie and go, maybe he did know what he was doing.
Yeah.
I think he kind of maybe understood the assignment more than people might give it credit for. I think this is also a good time to bring up, you know, the action of both movies, because I definitely think the Conor McGregor scenes are where we get the most exciting action in the remake, despite there being a lot of fun moments of action. But I mean, I guess I would say that there's two big Conor McGregor fights, and both just unbelievably good, I thought.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you get the one at the end is, I guess, the most iconic one out of them with the, instead of having the throat rip type scene, you get, this crazy knife fight where, of course, Dalton gets stabbed, but he takes the knife out, stabs Connor in the leg, and then goes up to him, takes the knife out of his leg, and then stabs both knives into his chest.
He just has two, and he just keeps moving them around.
Yeah.
Like, in one, like, still wide shot. It was, that's where I'm not being hyperbolic for the audience. I literally stood up out, like, off the couch and started, like, clapping.
I mean, besides, like, the Conor McGregor action, we get some other, like, other smaller action scenes that were crazy. You remember the one that he's walking down the road and the truck is trying to hit him?
Oh, my God.
And
that was wild.
Yeah, that was nuts.
That was probably the first one in the movie where we were like, what the fuck? We were like genuinely shocked what was happening. Yeah. And then he somehow falls into like a river and then narrowly avoids an entire Ford F-150 falling on top of him. I was laughing so hard. But yeah, there's tons of like really good, quick moments of action. Like, I remember it being the opening of the trailer, and it's probably honestly what sold me immediately on, like, I'm definitely going to watch that remake. But I'll just call it the slap fight whenever, I guess it's kind of like the first action moment, whenever he's at the bar for the first night, he's being confronted by the henchmen. Like he said, you know, the henchmen go out first, and he just takes them all out by slapping them, like open fist. Like, he's just slapping them all. It's so good. It's so fun to watch. But yeah, like they do like joke in this movie about like, damn, he like knew every single martial art. Like, was that Krav Maga? Like, this was that, whatever. In the first one, it's kind of the same thing. He just, I guess, knows everything. Yeah. But very different action. The original, which is unsurprising for like a late 80s movie, is very martial arts. And when I say martial arts, I mean like characters like fighting how you would think in like a high-level martial arts class.
Yes.
Whereas this one feels more like a UFC brawl type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm trying to think, like, what would you say are the standout action moments of the original? Because is it throat rip? Is that the most iconic, do you think?
The throat rip's good, but I don't know if it's my favorite action moment in it. There's so many just good smaller moments, I guess, as he fights different people that come into the bar. Like, you got that one guy that comes in with the knife on his boot, and he like calls it out. He's like, right boot. He like looks at his bouncers, other bouncer, and he's like, right leg, right, or like right boot. And they're all like, got it. And then they go up to the guy, and he like, the guy tries to kick, and he like grabs his leg and like twists it.
Yeah.
and then just throws him outside immediately and starts beating the shit out of him.
And I love at the end whenever he like becomes a stealth assassin off screen, where he's like somehow navigating. He becomes John Wick at the end, where he's navigating this house, and like characters like are like, you know, they're like walking slowly through hallways, and like they're really scared because they know he's there, but they haven't seen him yet. And then like they'll just turn a corner and see like one of their friends dead with like a knife in their throat. And they're like, oh no! And then they'll like look up and you just see fucking Patrick Swayze jumping like towards you, like no. But
I was laughing so hard. That last 15, that last 15 minutes of that movie is insane. Like you said, yeah, he goes from a bouncer to like a straight up assassin.
It's so good. But that is something I love about the ending of the original that I do think the remake kind of missed the mark on, is kind of having Dalton as the main character fail a little bit in terms of that final encounter. And it really is the community that he's kind of rallied. They come together and they're the ones that kind of put an end to it, because it's Red, it's the car dealership guy. And then in part, it's like the cops coming in and like clearly knowing what happened, but kind of turning a blind eye. Like, that's the reason that like Wesley like dies and fails at the end, is like those people.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't have done that if Dalton hadn't come into town. So I really enjoy like that aspect of kind of like the action, but also like the drama of the story too. Whereas I thought the remake was kind of missing that. They really made the big finale of the remake Conor McGregor, which I understand. If you're going to get Conor McGregor, I understand that that has to be the final moment. But I was kind of laughing. I can't remember if we talked about it, but like he kills him. And then the second he kills him, you could probably put a timer on and the movie has 2 minutes left. Like there is no falling action in this movie. He kills Conor McGregor. The crooked cop father of our lover comes in and goes, "I covered it up, Dalton, get out of here." And then you're like, oh, well, this is going to be an interesting dynamic because Doc and I guess Ellie, I know she is a doctor, so they call her Doc too, whatever. Yeah. Ellie in this version, clearly they had some steamy chemistry. No like gratuitous sex scenes from the original, but they definitely had a good makeout scene and like they like each other. But she kind of just goes, yeah, it's time to go, Dalton. He's like, all right. And then he just walks and gets on the bus and then the movie cuts to credits. And you're like, whoa, that was a fast ending. So I much preferred like the original kind of having that community aspect of defeating the villain and then him staying in town. And you're like, ah, these two kids, they're just crazy enough. They might be able to make it work. Dalton and Doc.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. It was a weird ending for sure. Yeah. Because you almost didn't get enough build up with him in this version of Doc at all. Like you get that the one, like they go out to the sandbar scene and, you know, they're like hanging out, I guess. And they make out a little bit. And like you said, they don't get like the classic oiled up 80s sex scenes. Not that I needed that, but it's just like you would have liked a little bit more story, I guess, just like built up with them. But
yeah.
But then, yeah.
They didn't need to like have sex more on camera. They just needed, I think, more time on camera in general. Because, I agree. I like their chemistry, though. Mm-hmm. It's just, I wanted more of it. And then by the end where she's like, no, you need to go. It's like, oh, okay. You kind of just don't really feel either way about it.
Oh. You mentioned it to me Friday when we watched it that the character of Reacher was possibly based or maybe it or was based on the original character of Dalton Swayze, like kind of being this drifter type guy, you know, going from town to town, taking care of business, kicking people's ass and all that kind of stuff. So did you think the ending of this remake kind of had more of that Reacher type feel because he's like, instead of having like the happy ending with the girl, he's like, you know what? I am going to stay in town. But this ending, like you said, it just ended so abruptly. And then he's off to the next town, I guess.
Yeah. I can't remember where I read that. And now that I'm thinking back on it, I don't remember if that was something that was like Lee Childs, the author of Reacher, if he said that like publicly. But I don't remember. I think regardless, part of the conversation is like it was said like, yeah, I think, you know, Lee Childs has talked about like loving Roadhouse and maybe taking inspiration of that type of character and creating like a fucking 30 book series that's still ongoing, by the way, for Reacher. And it's become this dynasty. And then, you know, they made a couple Tom Cruise movies out of it. And of course, now you have the Alan Ritchson also on Amazon Prime. So a little connection there. But yeah, I think it's one of those weird things where like original Roadhouse comes out, the Reacher series starts. Then it gets adapted into movies and TV. And now after that, you're getting a remake of the original thing. So they're probably trying to take cues from Reacher now that they can. And I just, I think it's a bad ending. It's not well done. But I do think that was what was happening. Like whenever it was trying to create a franchise out of this. Yeah. It's like, all right, well, he can't stick around. We want to keep that drifter aspect going. Because he was already basically that in the beginning of the movie. So keep that going and then, you know, do another Roadhouse movie where he has to save another place, I guess. And then maybe you have some characters crossover or something. But I'm not saying that justifies the ending, but it does make it make more sense.
Yes.
Because, I mean, Conor McGregor has to come back, right? We can't forget the mid-credit scene where he walks naked out of the hospital after surviving multiple, like, knife wounds. And then he just, I guess, like, kills a bunch of people in the hospital and walks out. So he's got to come back.
Yeah, he has to. Oh, that first scene with him, when he's just screaming Dalton's name. Dalton! Oh Dalton!
All right, Keith, I want to slowly start closing out here. We still have more things to talk about, but we're going to kind of get into our closing territory here. I want to ask you, what do you think the remake got the most wrong about the original? And also, what was the best change? And it could be something we've already said. I'm just curious. Or maybe not best change. Like, what do you think the remake did better than the original? I will say for me.
Yeah, go ahead if you have.
Since I kind of already said it. I think I wanted to ask this because the ending came to mind, which we were just talking about. But it's hard to, like, compare that to the original. It's like, did this really get an ending wrong? I guess not really. I just didn't really like it. I do think, because I know, like, mentor and mentee relationships are so cliche. We see it all the time in media. But somehow having, like, Dalton form this, like, friendship with, like, a bookstore proprietor who's, like, a 15-year-old girl and then, like, her dad that's, like, sometimes in the scene and sometimes not. It's like, that guy was, like, on camera for, like, 2 minutes. It's like, are we supposed to care? Like, it almost felt more cliche.
Yeah.
So I think that was the thing that got most wrong for me, is that the fact that they tried to replace something from the original with this. And I'm like, I don't even know if you needed any of that.
No.
Like, we probably could have just omitted it completely.
Yeah, I think that would be my same answer, too, what they got the most wrong. They needed at least one character that he already has, like, an established long-term relationship with to come in to talk to him.
Yeah.
Because you only get him, you know, every interaction he has is new. It's like a new person for him. He's a stranger from out of town. Mm-hmm. I think you did need a Wade Garrett type character to be in there to, like, have that good bar talk. You know, they're having beers together. They talk about the past and kind of gives him some tips on what's going on now. You don't even have to have, like, a Wade Garrett character, like, do the whole Sam Elliott thing where he gets killed or he fights alongside him or anything like that. But you could get maybe like one cool scene maybe in the bar where somebody tries coming up to him and he just like slaps him down. But I do think you needed like just at least one character that he, you know, was a friend with or had some sort of mentorship with.
Yeah, because it leaves us at the end. It's like the only thing we know about his backstory is this like interconnected set of dreams he had about the night he made a mistake in the UFC.
Yeah.
Because that's all we know about his past, because there's no character from his past for him to have conversations and bounce things off
yes.
of. So it's like we don't really find out anything, I think, interesting about this version of the character, despite Jake Gyllenhaal giving a very good performance.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if it would say it was a I wouldn't say this is the best like thing to change, but I think it was a cool change. Like, I would say the location. I liked that the original location was in Jasper, Missouri. You know, kind of in this southern type town, with this you know this villainous guy Wesley that owns half the town. I guess I thought that was a good location for the first one, but I really liked the fact that this one took place in the Florida Keys. I thought that was...
Yeah, it was a good pick.
Yeah, it was a good pick because they could bring, like, different scenarios into it, like with boats and going out into the ocean and doing whatever kind of action scenes they needed to do out there and having him live on the boat instead of the barn. That was a cool change. So it was just little stuff like that that was fun. They changed up.
Yeah, I agree. Do we have any, like, funny moments from the original or the remake that we haven't talked about yet? I'm trying to think.
Definitely some funny. I mean, I already kind of said it in my intro. Whenever Patrick Swayze is in the front yard, all oiled up, doing Tai Chi, the old man Emmett, his landlord pretty much, is staring at him the whole time, just smiling. And then also Wesley is staring at him the same time from across the lake, also smiling and staring at him. It's like, what the heck?
There's so many good, like, montages in the original. They're, like, kind of funny by today's standards. I love when, like, characters are trying to have, like, a serious conversation with him, and then he just, like, starts, like, he's, like, all oiled up and starts, like, climbing a rope in the barn or something. So, like, characters are like, I'm trying to talk to you. And he's like, I need to work out.
Hey, mijo. I need you to come over here.
Hey, mijo. So good.
I think in the original, just all the moments whenever they're being recognized, too, it's just so funny. Like,
I mean, they're iconic.
Yeah. Do you know who that is? They're like, that's Dalton.
Why would I? Yeah. How the hell would I know who that is? I live in Jasper, Missouri. Like, I'm a bartender. Yeah.
And what about for you, original or remake funny moments?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some more. I know there's like some in the remake right now that I'm forgetting. I mean, I guess we alluded to it. It is just on paper really funny that we go from the henchman trying to kill him on the bridge with the truck to make it look like a drunk driving accident, he says, and then immediately cutting from that. Jake Gyllenhaal is still wet to he's now back in his boat, and the guy's just there with a shotgun pointed at him. And within 30 seconds, that scene ends with the man falling into the water and getting eaten by a crocodile. I mean, pretty funny.
Yeah, that was funny. And then, like, the police are there the next day with, like, nets and everything trying to recover the body, like, if there is a boat.
And, like, the mysterious, like, boatmaster is just like, they're not going to find it. Yeah. Crocodiles hide their food. And that becomes, like, a weird, like, recurring joke. Yeah. Throughout the movie. I don't know.
Yeah, that old man just keeps coming up on the dock. Hey, better watch out for that crocodile.
It took my dog. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah.
Also, there's that one, whenever they're on the boat, the yacht, or not, maybe not the yacht, but like one of the boats, and they crash it into the roadhouse, and Brant's body just goes flying off the boat.
Oh my God. I thought he died there.
Yeah, I thought he died,
but he somehow did not. He just landed on like the soft, like leafy roof, I guess.
Yeah.
But he ragdolled out of that thing. We were also laughing at, like, the villains asked Dalton to, like, bring, like, this money to the boat so they could save Ellie. And then he just shows up. And he just, like, he looks like he's, like, high on mushrooms in this scene. He's just like, what money? I gave it to him. And they're like, how dare you? Gotta stop fucking with me, man. And then Brant's just like, well, actually, I did kidnap your daughter. And he's like, what? It's like such a weird, like, quadruple cross,
yeah,
like, moment. And Jake Gyllenhaal is just like acting so loopy. I love it. He's like, whoa, yeah. Well, I gave the money to him.
Was that the scene that we were like comparing to Ambulance, but him being like creepy? Remember there was a one scene where we're like, that was so creepy.
God.
Was that the same scene? Or was it something different?
I think it must have been. I'm not going to remember, but yeah. You did. You were the one that reminded me that, like, last year we watched Ambulance and talked about it on an episode. And I was like, oh, man, that moment was, like, Jake Gyllenhaal was diving back into the bag that he was in Ambulance.
Yeah.
And he brought that out for a couple seconds.
Or his Nightcrawler role as well. Just super creepy.
A little bit, yeah.
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 But yeah, lots of funny moments from both of them, though.
Definitely.
McGregor,
definitely.
Yeah, coming out in the mid-credit scene.
I mean, every scene with him is, like, a laugh out loud, yeah, funny. In both, like, good and bad ways. Bad in the sense that I don't think we're supposed to be laughing at some of them, but you do anyway, and you have a great time.
Got his Irish accent.
But, yeah. All right, Keith. So here we go. Here's, you gotta put the verdict down. I think, based on this conversation, we both agreed that the remake, at the very least, it justified its existence. We were skeptical upon hearing about it, but it came out. We had a blast watching it. We'd be even open to more. We'd be open to more. So one of the rare remakes that I think does a good job adapting the source material, keeps the spirit, making some good changes here and there, maybe misstepping a couple times, but nothing too bad, and just being a super fun movie. But I want to know, Roadhouse, 1989, Roadhouse, 2024. I'm not even going to say which is better. If you want to answer that, you can. But I just want to know, I'll just put it as simple as I can, because it includes a lot of parameters. Which would you give first place?
I think I'd have to give the original first place. Even though, like you said, this remake did such a good job of giving us a good time, just like the old one. I think the original just, I think it was just cut better, edited better. Like, there was the perfect amount of each category of what you want in a story, like, as far as action, drama, romance, character development. I think it just had it wrapped up in a better package. Whereas this remake, while it was still fun for all the reasons we mentioned, it was definitely missing a few things. Like, the ending was kind of abrupt. You didn't get enough of the romance, you know, no build up with the doc. You know, lacking the mentor type character to come in. So for those reasons, I think it's going to fall behind the first one for me. But I think they're both movies, though, that you can just put on and have a good time with. You know, the rewatchability is there for both of them for me. I can definitely see putting the remake on, like, at a party or whatever in the background, just as a fun watch.
Oh, yeah.
Or in even the original.
Absolutely.
So.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think the first one gets first place for me as well. I think it's better, but I also found it more enjoyable in its own way, not because it's the original, just because I think there's a bit more of, like, a nice magic to that one. And I think it might be for the things that you just said. It might be because I think there's more good romance stuff in there. There's, like, a mentor-mentee relationship that does a good job of, like, informing you, the audience, about Dalton's kind of maybe his background. So it kind of makes him more interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's not like there's a wide gap between these two. I thought the remake was an absolute blast, like I said. But I think this is a case where the original still holds the candle.
Yep.
I think this is a format that we like to play with again, especially with Austin whenever he gets back. He's going to be gone for a few weeks, guys, so get ready for some wild episodes. Keith and I like to have a ball when Austin's gone because he's our dad. So whenever dad's away, we get a little wacky. Will there be another shitty movie night? Probably. Still trying to figure out what movies would be on there, but I still don't know if we'll ever. The combination of John Carter and Ambulance is still going to be hard to beat, I think.
We're going to find a good combo.
We'll find something. Yeah. I promise. We'll do our best. All right. Well, with that, thank you all so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure you hit that follow button so you never miss our upcoming content. Also, please share us with your friends if you enjoyed this episode. We really would appreciate it to continue to grow our show. Please leave us reviews as well. Even if you don't want to write anything, leaving us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever your podcasts will just help us out. At the Arnies is our social, and the Arnies.media is the website. We'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. Like I said, Austin's going to be out for a few weeks. He's enjoying some nice vacation time, well-deserved. So Keith and I are going to hold down the podcast for a little bit. We've been throwing around some new ideas, like we said, and maybe another shitty movie night. We're going to do some wild stuff. Will there be a Fast and Furious retrospective? Because Keith and I love it, and Austin won't let us do it because he hates it. Maybe. It's quite possible. But if you want to look back on our recent episodes, I believe our most recent one, Keith, was we did a review of Shogun episodes 1-3, because that was what was out at the time. We loved that. I don't know if you've stayed current. Got a couple new episodes to watch. I've been loving that. And then we also did Dune Part 2 recently. So if you want some movie review talk where three guys just gush about how much they loved a movie and can't wait for the next one, check that out as well.
Yep. I need to catch up on Shogun. I got a couple episodes I'm behind on, but loving it so far. And lastly, we want to hear from you. So please send us a message on Instagram at the Arnies or email us thearniesmedia@gmail.com. What do you think of the new Roadhouse? Do you love the original? Will Conor McGregor ever act again? Anything you say, we'll read on the show and react to it live in our latest episode.
That's right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this one. Have a great rest of your week. See you next time.
See ya.